You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Man, like troops, back again. About my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Go,
vamos,
Prem Show.
When I love
when fart was poop, volume two.
Okay,
thank you. By the way, we didn't just randomly say that.
I only got volume one, so I can't wait for volume two.
That was like porns back in the day. You'd be like, everything blowjobs 19. How did I miss the first 18?
My goodness. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prem Show. We are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest show on Twitch, based around football, with the best usernames that give us a follow at the introduction of the program. So, well done, and thank you to who just, what was the name again? When fart was poop.
Yep. And thank you so much to Five Tanks, who just said two Cooligans, one cup.
Now they're
here.
Hey.
Right? You got to join Gully Squad for that one.
Okay. But that cup is MLS cup. So you shut it, sir.
And we're going to have to eat a lot of beans to fill it.
What is good, everybody? We're excited about today's show. And even now all I can think about is that that girl that was selling her farts that had the heart attack. That's the only person on my mind because
you mean a fartrepreneur, she called herself a American business legend.
I mean, the gig economy has changed in everything, okay?
And bruh,
why not? That's
good.
My
luck finding that on TaskRabbit. You know what I mean?
That's really my
question. She went out and created her own market.
Okay. Gen Z is changing the game. All right.
Uh-huh.
So good for her. Hopefully more farts, less heart attacks. We all, that's the mantra I live by.
American Empire said, looking up that fart in a jar girl completely ruined my suggested search results in Etsy.
All right.
This is not the knit shawl I was hoping to purchase.
Yes, just like, honey, no, don't look at my Etsy search window. There's nothing there.
And looks like Dimitri's 11-year-old nephew has grabbed his phone and typed in, better to be a fart seller than a fart smeller.
Ahead of the game. Ahead of the game. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We're excited about today's show here live on Twitch. We're here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, so come through if you're listening to this podcast. A reminder, watch the Cooligans television show. We have an exciting show coming up this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Fubo Sports Network. Watch on Fubo TV or on FuboSportsNetwork.com, or subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for clips of the show and stuff. But we have an awesome episode coming up with the homie Giles Barnes. You guys remember Giles Barnes? He played for the Houston Dynamo,
so good.
Orlando City, Vancouver Whitecaps, just like an MLS kind of journeyman, but he came from England. That was a legend at Derby County, and one of the coolest dudes you're ever going to hear from. So we have an awesome, awesome conversation with him, a great interview. So that's happening on Thursday, 7 p.m. And then you can catch that on YouTube on Friday, and the Cooligans podcast on Friday as well. So subscribe to the Cooligans podcast, Football Sports YouTube channel. And also, shout out to everybody who has left a rating on Spotify. We had about something like 25 people leave 5 stars on Spotify. So if you listen on Spotify, it's right there. Just put 5 stars. It's not going to kill you.
How about this? Even if you don't listen on Spotify, because I have Spotify, but I don't listen to podcasts on Spotify. Uh-huh. I haven't made that transition just yet. I still gave us 5 stars.
Wow. You know what
I
mean? How brave of you.
Do the same thing.
To open a different app and hit the 5 stars, you really...
No, not just that. I also have to like hit the little search button, type in Cooligans. You know what I mean?
It's a commitment, and we appreciate everybody's effort in doing that. Okay. FanXY said...
Boy Martin hit us with a year. Hey, and then he subscribed, Boy Martin.
Thank you so much, Boy Martin. Now, you're not going to be bored today. okay? Because we have a lot to discuss, especially it's obviously the transfer window is still open. Somebody said, close the window. You're letting in a draft. But no, we're not, okay?
The MLS Super Draft.
Okay? So where to begin today?
Let's talk about Ronaldo. Let's talk about Ronaldo,
mm-hmm.
because this is really interesting, and I'd love to hear your take on it. And obviously, whenever we talk about Cristiano Ronaldo, we have to remove what we know about him as a human being, a terrible human being. And we just have to talk about specifically his place as a legend at Manchester United. The fans have very clearly fallen back in love with him since he didn't go to City and made the switch last second to go back to Manchester United, right? His club of previous, where he was, began his life as a football legend, so to speak. It ain't going great, right? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he's gone. Ralf Rangnick, Chris Armas is there. Ronaldo's like, get this dude who sounds like Alexis Guerrero's away from me, right? Because he's got our accent. Supposedly, he had crisis talks with his team over this past week. And what the rumor now is, and a pretty substantial rumor, shouts to Robert from LA. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. A pretty substantial rumor is that PSG is back in the running to sign him. Supposedly, really? he wants to leave Manchester United and is willing to go play at PSG, the kit I'm wearing right now, which means he would play with Lionel Messi, which was the big rumor for a long time, is that he would play with Lionel Messi towards the end of his career. But then obviously that didn't happen. But then another rumor has also started, which also has legs, that he might go to Barca. Barcelona is interested in signing. Thank you, Jamie Lawton, for hosting. Barcelona is interested in signing Cristiano Ronaldo. And the rumor also states that Cristiano Ronaldo is interested in going to Barcelona. Now, in one move, if he goes to Barcelona, he could ruin his legacy at two clubs, Real Madrid and Manchester United, by leaving. Mm. If he goes to PSG, he kind of gives most of the fans of what they want, but he would be leaving Manchester United. So the question I ask, and I want the fans to chime in as well in the chat, does this actually ruin his legacy if he decides to leave? Or do you think Manchester United fans, and if we have any in the chat, let me know, you think Manchester United fans would blame Manchester United and not Ronaldo for leaving?
Okay, so the rumor to Barca, I don't even understand.
Let's break the whole thing down.
Yeah. So first that, financially, if they couldn't afford Messi, they can't afford Ronaldo. They can't even afford the players that they pretty much have. They've had to.
What are you talking about? They went out and got Ferran Torres. And they made him the most expensive signing, signing of all time.
And how did they register him as a player? They had to renegotiate Samuel Umtiti's contract so he would accept less money.
Bing bong.
Hey, thank you for the bing
thank
bong.
Thank you, Bormoyen, for bing bong.
They made Samuel Umtiti take less.
So Umtiti's going to have to take even less money.
we need the umteta instead of the.
Yeah. It's right here, man.
Okay. But he had to take less money before they could register Ferran Torres. So this is always what they're going to keep doing. They have so many financial issues that they have to Ronaldo was going to show up. Then they're going to be like, okay, Ansu Fati, like, yo, can you lend us a couple dollars? Because this dude, yeah, it's not.
Listen, we got a loan as a club. Problem is we put it under your name.
Look, so we know you got it because we gave you the money. Don't say you don't.
We renegotiated. Is it for exactly the amount we renegotiated for? Yeah. So as far as the government's concerned, you've got no money and you want a lot in taxes. But.
Real shame. I think that that issue with Barcelona's financial issues where they're always.
Yo, JD14 said, nah, the Camp Nou will have to become the CampCrypto.com and they'll be good.
Yo, Camp Crypto is.
Is fire.
I could mess with that. Camp Crypto?
Yo, CampCrypto.com, the merch. The merch alone.
All right. Let's
Yo,
go.
More like Camp Nou money. You know what I mean?
Let's do it, bro. I love
Damn.
It.
Damn.
Okay. And remember, Barcelona used to be the, you know, we don't put a sponsor on our shirt because this... Because
we're the national shirt for Catalunya.
They're like, fuck all that.
More like, yo, we're the national team for Catalunya, brought to you by NFTs.
Oh, you don't know what NFTs is? Okay, just know it's expensive, all right?
Yeah.
Buy one.
It stands for No Fur on Tourists, because we can't register this motherfucker until y'all pony up with some dough.
Oh my God.
They're going to sign Ronaldo with, like, yo, Ronaldo, we want you. But yo, real quick, you got any cash? You
can lend this? Yo, just let me hold 2-3 million right now. What's the big deal?
I'm acting like you ain't got it. We saw what you were getting paid in Italy. We'll take it in Lira.
All them followers you got on IG, you don't got no NIL deal? What's
your... Right? Yo, you can't do a little couple tummy tea? A couple tummy tea ads? You know what I mean?
Oh my God. My goodness. Okay. So just have the Barca players doing ads for, what's the Dollar Shave Club and Harry's?
Manscaped.
Come on. Figure it out. Nick Lay said Matt Damon starts doing ads for Barca. Sure.
Yo, let's go.
So I don't know. Like, even the idea of him leaving at all. Look, I think at this point, any team that is going for him, because he didn't really go to Manchester United for a lot of money. He is a commercial investment, essentially. He's obviously one of the most popular people on the planet, and people are aware of that.
So you're saying he's a marketing ploy more than a player.
Look, it is. You saw how everybody hated him at Juve. Nobody felt he made the team better.
Same thing's happening at United.
I mean, I don't know.
But they love him.
The fans, because he's getting results and he's scoring goals, and they're like incredible goals. It's highlight.
Jamie Lawton, who we know is the president of Leicester City, so not a Manchester United fan.
Yeah.
He said, Ronaldo only got to Manchester United for a return and a big media blow up, in my opinion. So I think most people have now kind of come to see the light that in the beginning it was cool because he was, you know, saving the game at the last second and scoring goals and you know, saving Ole Gunnar's ass. But now I think you realize, like, this has been a big marketing success, but overall bust. No,
I love this from Robert from LA. He says, just imagine the reaction from El Chiringuito. Let's go,
bro. The level of drama music they will be playing when this happens.
Literally,
bro.
It'll be cut to, just angry, angry Spanish men.
They do that thing with the camera when the guy's at the screen. You know what I mean? When they got the camera
I'm getting nauseous watching this show.
Why are you wearing? Why are you wearing one of those floaty things around your neck? Because just in case I fall.
This is interesting. Chiringuito.
How you get seasick from a TV show?
Chiringuito does something pretty incredible, because I was watching this thing came up on TikTok that I saw about the show Coco Melon. Do you know this show? It's like a child.
I've heard of it, but I know nothing.
It's like
about
for
it.
Babies. It's a children's show,
but I heard it's like intriguing. Like people get like drawn in.
Yeah, and children do, because they've done like research in when they're showing children cartoons, and like as far as like especially young, very young children, toddlers, they don't have a long attention span. They really only have like they essentially only watch the TV for something like 30% of the time. Like most of the time they look away. And Coco Melon does something quite intentional where they cut to several different characters. You're never looking at the same thing for more than about 3 to 4 seconds. So the attention span of a child is always like firing, and this is why kids.
So it's always new.
Chiringuito is doing the Coco Melon method. It is just
Coco
like
Coco Melon is doing the Chiringuito method.
Okay, they have little animated kids just being angry about Lionel Messi. Yeah,
they're really upset about the bear going from one dollhouse to the other one.
It's crack for kids, and it's like the new style of entertainment. So and Chiringuito is like almost like very forward thinking. They are adding the entertainment to just like the, it's really Chiringuito is just a men's gossip channel, essentially, right?
It's Real Housewives, the one where they watch it again or whatever. Andy Cohen. It's Andy Cohen of soccer. Five Takes said, he's a ployer, not a player for them. It was a strange signing from the start. Bro, it was kind of...
Hold up. Let's tell Five Takes coming through with the bars of...
Sorry, did he just do his own daily dummy right now?
Coming through with, he's a ployer, not a player. Okay.
Okay.
All right, I did.
And by the way, when you wasn't looking, I binged what ployer means, and it's to bend or to sag.
All right, so you know what? You're educating Alexis, so this is not bad. Okay. Brushy87 said, yo, Alexis, that farting girl story had me dying, fam. Okay.
I got you. When I see something that interests me, I know there's other people that want to hear more.
Okay, this is my wheelhouse? All right.
I'm sorry. If someone say selling farts, I think I need to pay attention. I think I need to pipe up.
Did someone shine the fart signal? Because I'm there,
bro. Is someone making money off of their body dances? I need to hear more about this.
Okay, Jamie Lawton said, I just watched a live documentary on TV about Kasper Schmeichel and his journey of becoming a goalkeeper, what teams he went to, then winning, then playing for Denmark, and then the owner of Leicester passing away, one of the best documentaries I've ever watched. Okay, Jamie, you know, we will check it out when we need. I mean, Jamie Lawton is our Cooligans Leicester correspondent, so thank you so much.
He'll tell you about the food in the VIP suite. He'll tell you about... shoulder programming they have on TV that references Leicester City. All Leicester City covered for us.
Jamie, what's the name of the documentary? Because I will watch it. And you mentioned Denmark. Did you see the interview with Christian Eriksen saying that he wants to come back and play and he wants to play in the World Cup? Did you see this, Alexis?
This is very stupid, but I do want to talk about that.
Okay,
I just want to finish talking about Ronaldo.
Right.
If he goes to Barcelona, guaranteed Real Madrid fans and Manchester United fans hate him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he goes to PSG and he plays with Messi, don't you think he kind of gets out of the whole hatred thing?
I mean, PSG are not in a great position either. I mean, they are not playing extremely well. But
he'll play with Messi.
I mean, look, it'll be exciting. There'll be a lot of drama. I would be interested in seeing it solely for the spectacle. There's no way, and I can't even visualize it, that they would be good teammates, that they would just find any level of chemistry. There's no way.
Wait. So you thought this whole time when I said I was excited to see it, you thought I was assuming it would go well? No.
Yeah.
the soap opera level drama that this would become.
Yeah, and
it would be out of this world.
It would put Messi in an interesting place because he is a pretty reserved guy. He's not super outspoken. Doesn't really criticize teammates or anything.
He lets his fashion do the talking. I'm sorry, he lets his fashion do the screaming.
Interestingly, it would be a way worse scenario for Messi, who doesn't want to be bothered with the drama around his life even more than necessary. And I also think he loves competing more with Ronaldo than the idea of playing on the same team as him. There's no way it could work.
But here's the thing. If it happens, low key, it's an opportunity for Ronaldo to outshine Messi on his own team. I think that's why Ronaldo would do that. I don't think it's because of Ronaldo played off in the media. It's an opportunity for us to play together. It's great that we get to play together, so on and so forth. And let's not forget that would be Mbappe, Ronaldo, Messi, and Neymar all on one team, which is bananas. Unless Mbappe gets sold.
A financial fair what? Never heard of it. Yeah. It would just make no sense.
Financial fair play ball. That's all they heard.
Keep it going, boys. All right.
But I think low key, and not that low key, I think Ronaldo's inspiration for doing that would be that he gets to one up Messi on his own squad. Because obviously it hasn't been going incredibly well for Messi at PSG, especially not in Ligue 1. I know he's doing a little better in Champions League, but it hasn't been going so smoothly. Meanwhile, Ronaldo's still scoring goals and looks physically still capable of keeping up a high level at Manchester United, I think this would be a really, this would put Messi into a depressive state, I think, having to play with him. But I think Ronaldo would do it because it would sort of, you know, kill the question once and for all as to who's better. Because I think Ronaldo thinks he'll go there and outperform. Bro. And I just want to mention, Crimson Pizza said, I think Alexis is right. Ronaldo plus Messi is a bigger story than Ronaldo leaving Manchester United again, which would be smart for Ronaldo.
Okay, so you just said it would put an end to the question of who's better. That question is never going...
Head.
Okay, maybe. The question is never going anywhere for the rest of our lives. So, yeah, people are still talking about, you know, Jordan and LeBron, and they... played.
They never even. They never barely played.
Literally, the crossover was like 15 minutes, and they're still having that debate. So,
Dimitri said something that I think is important. He said, "Who takes the pens?"
Oh my God!
That alone, that moment alone, free kicks.
I think Ronaldo's going to take them without consent, according to his history.
As Messi's waiting, you hear a whistle. Ronaldo runs in and kicks the ball.
Ridiculous. Okay. So Lozada said you've got to work so hard in the Prem these days. They're just too old. Man City wouldn't take any of them. Okay. Yeah, look.
You know what? I would agree with you if it wasn't for Ronaldo's form since he's been back. I think he's proven he's capable. It's not like when Ibrahimovic was at United, he was kind of old and slow already.
But
this is different.
But he wasn't hurting the team, or he wasn't affecting the team at tactically as much, or you know, negatively as
I agree
Ronaldo
with you. In fact, I would even say, thank you so much for hitting that subscription button, William Julius. Let's go.
To you. Thank you,
both of you guys, William and Julius. Thank you. Here's all I'll say about whether Ronaldo hurts United or not. Eye test says he does. Certain stats will tell you he does. No, there's no way to really prove he does. You know what I mean? There's no way to definitively say he does, because it calls to question as to whether other players are deferring to him, which is what I see, which is why I think Bruno's numbers are down and why the team is not playing as well as they could, is because they are deferring to him. So I agree with you, but that it's not definitive to say that. Brushy87, who is a United fan, said, Ron should not be on free kicks. He scored like two in the last 80. Also, how cool are you with the guy? You go, Ron. My man, Ron. you nicknamed his last name? You got to be good friends. He also said, Brushy87 also said, Zlatan was younger than Ron is now when we had him, LOL. But physically, not the same player.
Yeah.
You know, comparable to what Ronaldo is now. Ronaldo physically is much younger than Zlatan was, you know, what? What would you guys call it? A header merchant.
For sure. Zlatan's game and just obviously was like, he's not as physically gifted, he's not as fast and things like that, but he was just such a strong player, kind of more hold up and so incredibly creative. So they just played their styles of game is just wildly different. But when you think of Rangnick and now having this like Red Bull style system in Manchester United, it doesn't really, I don't know how much it's going to work. And then having a player like Ronaldo in that.
How else are you going to install a new system mid-season? This was so stupid to let Ole Gunnar Solskjaer get this far. And by the way, Nick Leige said Chris Armas is the one hurting Man U. And Fanx White put, why is Armas at United? Did you just wake up, Manji?
Bro, it is a, look, if it, look, the I don't know how proven it is as far as like the Red Bull system, but we see it work and be functional and in different countries, and it's not always about it's not about winning, but Leipzig is consistent, RB Salzburg is very consistent. There's a philosophy there that can be easily
also
taught.
You know, Ralf Rangnick's system, helped develop what's his name? Jurgen Klopp. It helped develop, Nagelsmann. It's Tuchel. It's led to a lot of people that have become very successful. So the system itself certainly has merit. But how the hell are you gonna change everything completely in 2-3 months? You just can't.
Yeah.
You had to come into United, just make sure that they finish in the top four, do whatever you can, play defensive, get the points when you can, play counterattack in football. And then over that summer, you can start to institute your system when you have a full, you know, preseason. You can't be doing this, you know, over the Christmas. It's Boxing Day. They still got games.
Yeah, there was I was reading, I mentioned this last week, but Grant Wall's book, there's a chapter about Roberto Martinez, and he talks about, you know, the difference between being like a national team manager and a club manager. And he talks about that in preseason, you have about 60 sessions. You get about 60 sessions with players to instill whatever system you want to input. And when a manager comes in midseason, it is, you know, obviously it's way more challenging to do that. So I guess the main thing with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it didn't make any sense to get rid of him at the, like, let him finish out the season, because Manchester United, they probably weren't going to miss out on Europe at the very least. I mean, they were playing well enough to probably get there.
Or look, they're certainly not going to get relegated, right?
No, of course, yeah.
But you don't want to slide. You don't want to stay in the 7th to 9th position. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't want to kind of meander there, because then the club sort of, you know, Manchester United is one of those clubs where if you're not perpetually winning, you're failing.
Right.
But, you know, versus Everton, who's just like, hey, man, we're happy out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I would describe it as. Happy. Very happy.
Yeah. I met the fans. Trust me. Y'all finish above 8th, y'all are happy. I don't care what
y'all say. Yeah, that I can understand. But yeah, I would not describe the fan base as happy right now. Anyway.
Nick Lage said that roster fits the Red Bull system as well as an extra small Speedo would fit Alexis, or a triple XL baggy jeans would fit Christian. How'd you get Christian's high school pictures?
Hey, okay, give me that extra small Speedo. I need it. It fits perfectly.
FanXY said, Alexis said in a previous pod, don't change the system middle of the season. Wait till preseason. Yeah, I did say that. Thank you for reminding me.
So, look, it is a you know, we talk about Manchester United so much. They're always a topic of conversation, but they
keep being newsworthy.
They need they're not going to improve, you know, without time. And then essentially, I think my main question right now is, do we think Ralf Rangnick will be the manager next season? Because he's only on a 6-month deal.
I don't know if he's the manager at the end of the season.
I don't think
so.
Well,
no, he won't be the manager next season. He's only doing a 6-month deal, and then he goes to the front office. He might not even get the chance to go to the front office.
Sure. Yeah. That is the so Lozada said no, never. Yeah, that seems to be the main, like, the main reason why this probably was not a good idea. Because
you can't give somebody, say, yo, just carry us for 6 months and then you can go relax in an office. Jamie Lawton said, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't even take any United player at the moment because the attitude stinks. Bruno is playing awful, trying too much. When I go watch Leicester, I want a quick start pass, move, turn, and squeeze when defending. For example, Lookman has changed the speed of our game. He comes on with fight and plays for the badge. Bruno just stands there. And I think this is something I've heard multiple times. And I know, someone else mentioned Marcus Rashford's attitude, who's clearly not having a great season. People seem to forget he scored 21 goals last season, but whatever. He's not having a great season this year. I get that the attitude looks different, but I honestly think it's back to what Christian said. I think a lot of what you're seeing is people are either afraid to assert themselves, don't fit the system they're in. So Bruno, being the type of player who likes to roam and pick out passes and kind of do his thing and have those moments where he kind of attacks the net, you can't really do that in Ralf Rangnick's system. And the other thing is, they're deferring to Ronaldo. You know what I mean? Like Christian said previous. And I think that's really the issue, is everyone's looking bad because they're all trying to make this one person look good. And it ain't working. And then on top of that, you try to add a new system. And I know for the cup match, they went back to their 4-2-3-1, which was like, all right, fine. If you don't want to play the double dick, we don't play the double dick. You know,
we're not going to do the double dick has never let us down.
Yeah. Dude, there's Twin Richard standing right there.
I need you.
But no, we're not going
to
play.
I need you to trust the double dick. Yeah, have faith.
It's imposing at first. I get it.
It seems like it's a lot, but you'll get used to it. Okay.
You think one is a lot, but two, you know, but trust me. At the end of the day, you're just gonna realize how comfortable you've been this whole time.
why haven't I been doing this the whole time? Anyway,
the whole time, double dick. So I want to apologize to everyone watching and listening. We don't know what we're gonna say before we start. double down on the double D's, Dwarf Martin. Sometimes you've just got to dig deeper. Can we get a share that says, I need you to trust the double to play ref, Gabe, you need young men willing to run from the double thing. No. So should Ralph try the Alexis defense, run around without pants on, says Fan XY. Hey, it's we might see it in California.
Sure.
We might see it in Los Angeles. But to that point, I don't think the way, and by the way, he did switch back to the old formation. And it wasn't great. They didn't look amazing. I think they got lucky. Other people will tell you they got lucky. I'm personally under the impression that it wasn't wonderful, but I think this is the problem you're going to run into. I think Ralph Raniak came in, said, yo, we're going to try a bunch of shit. It didn't look great. So he decided, you know what? I'm going to try less shit. I think that's what he's at.
Damn, bro. I just yeah. You know, these modern managers these days are really like wow, blow my mind.
Let me know if you need to bang anything any of the words I used in there. You know what I mean?
Yo, everybody, huddle up. We're doing, you know how we were doing a ton of shit last time?
Yeah.
Yo, we ain't gonna do that much shit this time, okay? Yeah. All right.
As William Shakespeare once said.
Yo, Gaffer, really forward thinking. Okay.
Yo, everyone just does this after I say it. Everyone's snapping.
They won 1-0 against Aston Villa. I didn't really get this. Maybe somebody in the chat can clarify. But apparently, Steven Gerrard did some sort, as he was walking onto the pitch at Old Trafford, he made some sort of gesture or did something. I thought it looked like he just kind of scratched his face or something. I don't know what he did, but it was like all over the news. Like, oh my God, did you see what CVG did? Like, and he just smirked or something. I don't even know what the big deal was, but it was obviously Steven Gerrard's first time back at Old Trafford since he was obviously at Liverpool. But so if anybody
what
knows,
did he do?
I don't even really know. But it was like trending for a little bit of something he did. I mean, I'll look it up.
What could it have been?
Let me see.
Did he do the middle finger? Do you know that thing where like you scratch your nose with the middle finger?
It might have been that. It might have been that.
That'd be kind of dope.
Oh, so these are some of the quotes. These are some of the quotes. He said, this is from Standard Sport, says, I have been to noisier stadiums than this, which is already like.
And that upset people?
I don't know. It's just, but look, these are some of the quotes. He says Steven Gerrard labels Man United crowd relatively quiet as he takes jab at Old Trafford reception. So I guess when he walked in, he got obviously a negative reception because
only in England would saying a stadium is relatively quiet. Is that considered very disrespectful?
This right here. You see what I'm playing? I don't know what he did exactly.
What, he smells fingers?
It looked like he was smelling one of the jar farts. You know what I mean?
Hey, the guy paid for it. What's it say? Old Trafford's. I can't read his.
That's blurry. In Turkish. That's in Turkish.
Click on it and translate it to see if.
Let me fix the resolution for you so you can see it a bit clearer. I never understand if anybody in the chat knows what he did. It looks like he's stiffing like a smelling salt.
Yeah. Chanchada Millonaria said, was he repping East Side? He came through like, you already know what we do out here. With the AV. You feel me?
So it looks like he's just smelling some smelling salt, but maybe that was the jab. Like, oh, I gotta wake up because you're not loud enough. Maybe that's what he was doing. Don't know.
Well, look, he turned around to the camera.
Oh,
so my instinct.
Oh, wait, no.
Saying,
he put chewing gum in his mouth. That's what he did. That's what Lozader.
He's putting. Lozader said he's putting chewing gum. So why is this disrespectful?
No, I don't know. This was literally genuinely a big deal. Like people were reacting to like, oh, look at CVG being CVG again. Don't even know why. Just he's just chewing on his chiclets.
He said the place is relatively quiet and he put chewing gum in his mouth and y'all are flipping out about this?
Bro, front page of the Sun. People are losing their minds.
y'all, Y'all emo as hell. you just because you hate somebody already don't mean everything they do. This is something I do all the time where I'll say Christian, I'm like, you heard the way he said good morning? No, I'm telling you, he don't like us. You feel me? Like, this has been my role since the beginning of this whole thing. Now y'all doing it worse than me.
Such a weird thing. So actually, speaking of Aston Villa, we should talk about Philippe Coutinho. On loan.
Philippe Coutinho made the jump back to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to...
Lozader, I'm going to allow it for now.
Okay.
Just because I agree with you.
Okay. Philippe Coutinho will be going to Aston Villa on loan. Everton were interested in him and blah, blah, blah. He ended up going play with, his homie, Steven Gerrard, who we played with at Liverpool. What are you thinking about this move? Do you think, this revitalizes Coutinho's career? Because they really did not, surprisingly, really did not work out in Barca.
Look, I think at this point, if you would have asked me about Philippe Coutinho a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have told you like, yo, he deserves a move back, yada, yada, yada. This is unfortunately the right level for him. I think Everton missed an opportunity by taking him on loan. I think you need help in the midfield. I thought he would have been a perfect fit. He kind of reminded me of James Rodriguez, of somebody who needed an opportunity at a club like Everton that tends to be pretty positive about their players at the very least to sort of come back, if you will. Get back in top form. But unfortunately, it might be a little late. He might be washed. You know, I don't know how he's going to play in Steven Gerrard's system, which is a bit more active, a bit more, sort of attack, attack, attack. You know what I mean?
Sure. I think he'll be a good fit and a stronger kind of attacking threat, but only if he is the Coutinho we're used to seeing. It's kind of
he's not going to be Liverpool Coutinho.
But he didn't get injured. Like nothing really happened to him. He just went to Barca.
He got injured. Did he have a knee injury?
Was it severe? I don't remember him.
I don't think it's like severe.
I think the injury was just putting on the Barca shirt, bro. There's just something happened to him.
Umtiti's like, I heard that. I injured my bank account putting this shirt on.
Don't know what happened, man. It's just like a how do you go from just having such a dominating in the Premier League, being getting such a huge like money move, and then just not showing up when he got to Spain, just absolutely shocking.
Also, he currently has he just beat coronavirus. He had coronavirus. I'm trying to find his injuries.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Well, I know it's on transfer market somewhere.
What's the Brush 87 said? He took a wage cut. Villa are paying 60%, and he waived the rest so Barca could register Ferran Torres. Look at this. Look at this.
He's like, you did what?
Look at what the situation. This is how down bad Barca are. Where they're like,
Barca are moving and shaking within their own club.
They're like, yo, I know you're leaving, but
you can't even pick up the phone if the club calls you. You can't even pick up the phone
because you know what they're gonna ask for. Embarrassing. I don't think this gets talked about enough. How poorly mismanaged this club has been. This is one of the biggest brands.
Thank you, Fanix,
in the world. Fanix Y, thank you for the love.
By the way, he had a rupture of his outer meniscus that had him out for 220 days.
Whoa.
This was in nutmeg. December of 2020.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was that serious.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he missed 33 matches for Barcelona.
All right. So maybe he's not the same guy.
CampCrypto.com looking more likely by the day. Yo, they are down bad FC, bro.
Oh my goodness. So I'm excited to see him play back in the Premier League, and we'll see what he can do. Nutmeg is losing his mind. I think he's
upset. Does he just not like the word? You know, like if you say Alexis too loud, the Alexa thinks you're talking to it. If you say Coutinho, is that a nickname for Nutmeg?
That's just like a attack signal. Brush 87 said, Barca are one of the biggest footballing institutions, probably the only club run worse than United. It is obviously a big responsibility. And generation after generation, it gets more challenging because as the world evolves and businesses evolves and the internet and everything, Nutmeg.
JD14 said, Nutmeg saw this TVG clip. He's upset. How dare you stay relative? I wish your apartment was relatively quiet.
Nutmeg, what is going on, bro? He's just losing his mind. Okay, so
by the way, Brushy 87 is a United fan, so he's allowed to say that. But I do want to bring up Vinegar Strokes. Previously said, shouts to Vinegar Strokes for hanging out with us. Said, but there's no way Everton can afford those wages. I don't know if that's possible.
No,
I don't know if that's true. Everton can afford his wages, no?
No, because they're putting the money into the stadium right now. They for the next like probably two seasons or at least two, three windows, I don't see them bringing pretty much anybody in. Like they're not bringing any big name players until that stadium is built. That's it. And that's the thing with, you know, the way stadiums are built in Europe versus the way they're at least in England versus the way.
Yeah, here the owners just steal tax money.
Yeah, they're like, hey, look, this thing that's going to take up eight city blocks is going to be so beneficial to you. I promise.
And do you have any idea how many jobs is going to give you guys? Mostly in the picking up chicken fingers department, but still.
Okay.
Also, I love that. They use taxes for healthcare in England, but here we use it for stadiums.
Yeah,
for
bro. Bigger. No,
come on now.
These suites
we know how to use our money correctly.
We don't need a hospital. We need, you know, we need microwaves in the suites.
Bro, I mean, if you don't go to the infirmary at the stadium, if you don't feel good, bro. Okay. This is the problem. England didn't have no eagles laying on the shoulders of its founding
exactly.
fathers.
You know, even like the Philadelphia Eagles have a goddamn jail in their stadium
and a court and a full-ass court.
Tax money went to that, okay?
Bruh, a judge gets sent to the stadium for every game because that's how illegal everyone in Philadelphia perpetually is.
He's like, dun, 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 you're doing 3 years, go Birds, okay? Okay.
JD14 said, speaking of owners, Southampton are owned by a Dragon now? What?
A Dragon? Where's that? Speaking of, who's a Dragon? Is that a wealthy family? A Russian family or something?
Southampton. No, I don't see. Who are the owners? What's a Dragon? Or is it a dragon?
Dragon, the Rough Rider rapper? Remember Dragon?
What was his thing? He wasn't stopped. No, what was his joint?
Oh, I don't remember it. Dragon Solak.
Damn. I'm afraid already just from that name, bro. How you gonna say no to Dragon?
Dragon Solak. Okay, that's
Dragon's a lock to punch you in the face if you talk greasy.
Well, this is a chess player? Is that who it is? Because the name I'm seeing right here is a Turkish Serbian chess grandmaster who also now hates Portsmouth FC. I'm assuming this is updated in Wikipedia. So yeah, I'm assuming this is the person. Where is that?
Yeah, no, that is him. Dragon Solak.
Where is?
No, that's not him. So you're reading about some actually, you know what?
Player. It says,
it might be him.
Do you see it right there? It says Dragan Solak is a Turkish Serbian chess grandmaster.
He's a Serbian billionaire through a telecommunications company called Sport Republic,
who also now hates Portsmouth FC, which is that's their rival. Southampton's rival is Portsmouth. Same name, damn. Different guy.
So, yeah,
that's what JD was
you're
said.
Reading the wrong.
But it's
there's too many Dragons. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's born in 1964. The Serbian tycoon, very scary words to put together. Founded his telecommunications company back in 2000 and turned it from a cable operator in Serbia into a regional leader delivering services across 8 countries.
Okay.
Damn.
All right.
So his channels have the Premier League TV rights. Ah.
Interesting. Okay. So this is the guy here. So there's a chess player with the same name, but the photos that are above. So this is
somebody.
This is Bing.
Somebody jokingly updated the wrong Dragon's Wikipedia. And he probably has no clue why.
He's like, what the sports month? Okay.
He's like, why do I hate Portsmouth?
Hilarious. So then this is. See, the chess player Dragan Solak looks a lot more like a Dragan Solak. You know what I mean?
He also looks like a younger Dragan Solak. He looks like pre-money, pre-2000 Dragan Solak.
Okay. So, all right. Well, shouts to Southampton. Best of luck to them. Okay.
Brush87 says, shout out to Harry Redknapp, who managed both. He gave 0 Fs when switching from Portsmouth to Southampton back in the day. And I just want to give a shout out to one of my first memories of like being able to like fully understand like the reason behind it and the chant itself. Like one of the first English chants where I knew the whole story, because a lot of times we would get the matches here, but we wouldn't get any of like the ancillary news about some of the people in like the Premier League and stuff. Harry Redknapp gets in trouble for not paying his taxes, right? So I remember hearing about this, and if I'm not mistaken, he was Tottenham manager at the time, which is probably why I had heard about it, right? And I remember the North London Derby, they chanted, he pays when he wants, he pays when he wants, Harry Redknapp, he pays when he wants. And I remember that moment. I'm like, okay, now I understand why they're singing it.
Yeah, we're not part of the inside jokes. Now that's gotten a little bit better.
Skips right over us.
As Americans, okay. So
we're like the wrong Dragan Solak reading his own Wikipedia. Don't get it.
I hate to see it. You hate to see it. All right, let's move on to the GQ photo shoot for the Liverpool winger Mohamed Salah. And we got to look. I know it's Liverpool, and Everton fans are gonna like lose their minds or whatever, but shouts to this Egyptian king, bro, because these photos. They did him justice.
It's a little Hector Bellerin-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, more low key, but definitely an opportunity to show. Like I look at
the high shorts is a big thing for what are we doing with the high short.
But
that's only because my body tells you where to put the shorts. This is a big old obstruction as to why I can't go this high. But he tolls them up. You know what I mean? He pulls them joints up a little bit higher than average.
He looks like he's playing basketball in 1973. You know what I mean?
Like, he looks like if he sits down, he's going to go, hey! You know what I mean? they're pulled up quite a bit.
But this, I look at these photos and I'm like, yo, Mohamed Salah. Matt, cute guy.
You know what? This is his Emily in Paris moment. You feel okay. me?
Are you watching Emily in Paris? Is that why you?
I have seen 2 episodes, and I looked at my wife and I go, "This is for children, right? this can't be for adults." Whatchamacallit? It's written like a high school drama, but you know, I said, I'm like, why is she dressed like this? Even I said that, and my wife advised or you know let me in on the fact that. She gets sort of ridiculed for how she dresses.
Right. My first impression of Emily in Paris when I saw it, my fiance Helene was watching it, and I saw it and I'm like, this girl is maybe 85 pounds. Why is she the tiniest person in the world? Like she looks.
Look, I'm not gonna. I don't want nobody body shame me if I'm wearing that.
No, I mean,
but she'd be wearing like these wild hats and stuff.
No, those are fine.
And I didn't realize she got made fun of for it. And I think this is exactly what Mohamed Salah's doing. He's saying I'm a dress for the controversy, not for the comfort. You feel me? Nick Leitch said, "Where's the cigarette clip?"
Yeah, he just doesn't. He really.
This isn't Messi's GQ moment.
You gotta lean in, bro. So somebody said, Vinegar Stroke said, Everton fan here will admit Salah's photo shoot is better than Pulisic's for sure. LOL. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'll hold that.
It's more like he didn't try too hard. And it's not like he didn't try at all. Like, it's like, it suits
I'll
him.
I'll give him this much. He doesn't look uncomfortable at all.
Right.
Like,
right.
Facially, he doesn't look like, he looks okay with taking pictures. He's having a good time. I also love that whenever football players do these fashion shoots, maybe Pulisic might be the first one I didn't see, but there's always one where they're like, you know, stand comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, all right, now do this, do that. Whenever they say stand comfortable, they have to do something with a soccer ball. You know what I mean? Like, they have to do keep the uppies, or it's like the only thing they know how to do. You know what I mean? It's the only way to get Messi to smile in a photo.
Yeah.
Is to toss him a ball.
Yeah. And at least like there aren't, I mean, I haven't seen any photo that where it's like intentionally like hypersexual. You know what I mean? Like,
you just pulled up on one. What are you talking about?
No, all these photos scream like Mohamed Salah fucks. You know what I mean? Like, they say that, but
100%.
But he's not actually saying it. The photos are doing the work. As opposed to like Pulisic, who was like laying, you know, on a couch and doing the, like, you know, I'm like, all right. We get it.
Yeah, yeah.
You've kissed a girl.
He's not. Yeah. You've seen a vagina. Congratulations.
Yeah. You read about it in a book. This, good for you.
You binged what it looked like. I will say, in all these photos, he's not brooding in any of these pictures.
No.
To your point.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey, man, come on now. I'm just a guy. Just a guy standing here.
And
who happens to be ready to go when you are, you know?
Okay. But I will make sure that you finish first, sweetheart. Uh-huh. You know?
I'm a giving lover. You know what I mean?
They are
crazy. And by the way, I'm going to make you a pancake afterwards. And it might be one of those little pancakes in the shape of a little bear. You know what I mean? Because I got it like that.
And then the bandana that is... The rolled up bandana is, you know, I was going to mention this. Fan XY just said, next thing, Salah workout videos, which this is screaming 80s workout video. I mean, I could.
Yo, the whole thing is screaming like 80s, 70s kind of vibe to me.
And Salah's like, he is like physically fit. He is ripped. He's like ripped, but not like too much where it's like, it's like, you can see him in an 80s workout video where it's like, it's not too much. It's like the perfect amount of like weightlifting and jazzercise. That's
right.
That's the vibes I'm getting from him. Okay.
I could see what you're saying. I am getting a very Jane Fonda workout tape vibe from him. But then see here, he looks like one of those old timey boxers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Graphic Mess said Pulisic was doing the George Costanza. Remember that?
How could I, 100%. As much as I try to wipe it from my brain, you know? That photo right there is straight from a Wes Anderson film. This whole thing has that Wes Anderson, that was Vinegar Strokes. This whole thing has a Wes Anderson kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a very aged photo, very, you know, if I may, Amé Leandor, you know what I mean?
I don't
know. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you said.
You know the brand ALD, Amé Leandor?
I don't know that one. No, I know the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, you do. You've seen
it. I know the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, very close. Do you see the video Chelsea put out with the photo booth? With the players and their families going into photo booths, the players that play together?
I do.
So that actually is like almost a direct ripoff of an Amé Leandor ad.
Right. People ALD. Were complaining.
Some people say Amy Leandor. It's Amé.
Okay.
It's the French word for love. Someone's been studying for his trip to Paris. Amé Leandor, this kind of has that same vibe to it, which is like everything looks a little aged. It looks a little Wes Anderson-y, you know?
Okay, but credit to GQ for, again, this seemed they were prepared. They had a vision, and I think they followed through just very, very well, especially from, you know, an Egyptian player obviously playing, you know, Egypt just lost to Nigeria in the first match in the Africa Cup of Nations.
Great game.
Great game. Kelechi Iheanacho with the goal. But Mohamed Salah, look, is already the conversation pretty much week in, week out. Is Mohamed Salah the best player in the world right now? And, you know, everybody's asking it. Some people have, I think, a difficult time saying yes to that. But I think he is, you know, obviously the level that he's at and how consistently he's doing it.
What do people have a tough time saying yes to?
Saying that he's the greatest player in the world right now. That seems to,
I mean,
it's not like, you know, it's easy to say it about Messi. It's easy to say it about Ronaldo, whatever. Like, even
those guys also had, you know, I could see it. Those guys had like track records. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they also have international displays of greatness. You know, obviously not a lot of success with Messi until recent. But yeah, I think Mohamed Salah has always been like capable of being the greatest player. But I think this is the first year he's kind of stitched it all together. And the players around him aren't playing incredibly well. When he went on the Champions League run and the league run, you could have said, oh, people were like, oh, but the most important player is Sadio Mane. Or, oh, if it wasn't for Firmino playing this way, if it wasn't for Trent Alexander, if it wasn't for Virgil van Dijk, this is the first year where you're like, nah, man, Salah's carrying it.
Yeah,
so I could see that. I could see your point there. So I can see why people have been hesitant in the past.
So I applaud him for this because I think the maybe people seeing, maybe they have a tough time because he's an Egyptian player, just like, you know, or maybe just an African player. Just to admit it and say it, and he clearly does not have the marketability of a Messi and Ronaldo. And
it might be North African, because there's been African players where people have clearly said like that's the best player right now. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. So we've never really seen just say an Egyptian player.
Not Egyptian, but like Samuel Eto'o.
Right.
Was like a god. He's from Cameroon.
So I think the GQ, him doing this for GQ, even as like even as a Muslim person, like this is not a thing we're sort of used to seeing, and the fact that he's even like even in this photo where he's like wearing a mesh shirt, which is like not the biggest deal in the world, but it's like maybe culturally it might be like some people might be like, well, what is Mohamed Salah? You know, whatever. There's conservative people like that. So for him to do this, I think it's like a really cool thing.
I'm sure like people will say like in some of the first photos where he's wearing the shorts real high, like I know he fast, but them thighs ain't fast.
Yep, that's what they're saying. Okay. Five takes
said Mo Salah is currently the best striker in the world. We'll see if he rises to an iconic Messi level. He definitely could. I wouldn't even consider him a striker.
Yeah, I kind of wouldn't either. I see him as a winger. I mean, look, when you I was watching the Egypt Nigeria game today, and he plays as a striker, which
I mean he has to.
Yeah,
nobody else on the squad, bro. Did you watch that game? There's no one that can get him the ball, man.
Yeah, it's there was a bunch of memes of people saying like El Neni trying to pass him the ball. Like get him a through ball, and it's like that's not gonna happen. So yeah. Arsenal,
you already lost if that's your tactic.
You're asking for too much, bro. So,
not from El Nani. So that's more of an El No No. You feel me?
But I applaud him. I think the problem, you know, as far as calling him the best player in the world, I think the given that Liverpool are not in first and they will always essentially be chasing Manchester City, and they're just at a level of the squad from top to bottom is just unbelievably consistent. They're just too good. I think that's what makes it a little tougher to say to maybe give Mohamed Salah like his flowers on this stage, because he's not as boisterous. He's not as such a public figure. He's not as marketable as some of those other guys. That I think this is an interesting pivot for him. So I applaud him for that. Okay.
Five Takes said striker plus winger equals stinger. New position. Yo, Five Takes came in ready with the marketing. You feel me? He knows how to promote.
Or stringer. I like that too.
Okay.
Well done. Okay. So what else should we discuss? There is some more transfer rumors. Fabrizio Romano mentioned about, we've been talking about Luca Dean for a minute. What is he gonna do? Where is he gonna go? And now the new contender for his services is apparently Aston Villa.
Aston Villa. Tooling up right now, bro.
It was initially Chelsea. There was the rumored Newcastle, and then Newcastle. That's definitely not happening. So the suggestion here, the rumor is Luka Dean to Aston Villa, and then they would send Mohamed El Ghazi to Everton, which, fine, I don't know. I haven't seen him, much of him. He's also Egyptian. I think he was playing in the
they
game.
Were like, and in return, we will send you. Christian's like, so
okay.
Get him on a plane.
So that's the next rumor. Luka Dean obviously not gonna stay at Everton. Who knows? Yeah, there's just again, we don't know exactly why. Oh, actually, Rafa Benitez was saying that he did a press conference and he said that the player doesn't want to play here anymore. But we haven't, you know, obviously we're not going to hear anything from Luka Dean about it.
Would just say, I don't want to play here anymore mid beginning of the season? You know what I mean?
Right. It's,
it's a little sus.
People are being, you know, obviously being a little skeptical of what he's saying.
And I don't even think Everton did anything wrong, but something here happened between the player and the manager.
Yeah.
There's somewhere where that communication line broke. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Okay.
Is why, like, Arteta, it's like, you know, he won't specifically come out and say it, but he'll be like, yeah, this player's not in our plans anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're going to move on.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm as clueless as everybody else. I don't know what could possibly
tell us, Christian. Damn it. What happened?
But even though Everton did win their match, who did they play? What am I forgetting? Everton played in the FA Cup. They played. Please remind me, folks, if I take too long to remember.
I don't want to think about the FA Cup at all.
Everton played. Oh, man, where can't I find it?
I know Manchester United lost to Cambridge.
They played.
And
that's
all I want to talk about.
They gave up.
Oh, Newcastle lost to Cambridge, by the way. Sorry.
Everton gave up a goal in the first minute. Okay, so strong start against the Championship side, Hull City. What? I mean,
really bringing your A game.
Dude, it's crazy because I didn't watch the game from the beginning. Like, as soon as it started, I got in a couple minutes later. But then my Everton group chat from out in Liverpool was just like, literally get the notification, game just started. And then the group chat,
all hell message, breaks loose.
Group chat is like, this team is useless. I'm like, what? There's no way it could have happened. Why are people upset so early? Usually when I see a negative comment, I'm like, oh, hopefully we just like miss a good chance. Like, that's where it's getting. When I hear negativity, I'm like, hopefully we just let ourselves down as opposed to conceding.
Yeah, but when the WhatsApp group hits like 35 notifications instantly, you're like, nah,
bro.
Nah, this ain't good.
But they ended up winning Andros Townsend in extra time.
Oh, wait a minute. Nick Lay's just pointing something out. And there's a D squared ad on Christian's computer.
Oh yeah, I wonder why. Yeah, because we were looking at
and it's all the hats,
the the pants.
Look at the cost. Oh my god,
affordable deal. Okay,
40% off.
So
a little less of a scam.
But you know what? So but credit to the new signing. It was what's his name, Vitali. Mikolenko.
There we go.
Where's his name? Where is he? Oh, there he is. He played wing back here. Vitali Mikolenko played 120 minutes in his first ever game. The kid just signed 2 weeks ago and played the full game. And he was a little shaky at first. Apparently, he's from the Ukraine. He's learning English. And
still worried about, you know, Putin.
The kick out on his mind. He's really involved in Ukrainian, just you know, global politics and everything. Yeah, he's sorting that out. But credit to him. He played well and did enough to win. Andros Townsend got that golazo from like 30 yards out. Another absolute crack.
Vinegar Stroke said, play five at the back against a championship team. Rafa, baby.
Bro, they gotta figure something out. Rondon was just, bro, the dude hasn't scored all season. Just having a rough go. But then this is also the new kid from that came from Rangers, Nathan Patterson, who's also a fullback. So it's gonna be interesting. You know,
shoring up that back line.
Yeah, hopefully this transfer window goes somewhat okay for Everton. It just some sort of attacking option or attacking midfielder, somebody that can like just hold the ball and control the game a little bit more.
But speaking of the FA Cup, look, fine. People want me to talk about it. Fine.
We love you, Forest.
Talk about it.
We do. We love you,
Forest. Arsenal's match against Forest was postponed for a COVID outbreak. No. By the way, did you hear that Liverpool is under investigation?
No, for what?
Because they postponed the Carabao Cup against Arsenal, but then immediately after, only one of those players actually tested positive for COVID.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they're thinking that it was a little bit of a scam a lama ding dong.
Premier League, sorry. Can't come into work today. It just, I got.
Looks like you got gag impressed.
I got a severe case of it. I don't know how I'm going to make it into work today, Premier League. Apology.
How many lines you see? Oh my God, like three or four of them on this thing. I must have all the strength. I got Delta Cron. I got the Flu Rona and the Delta Cron.
Bro, you hate to see it.
but let's talk about Arsenal playing against Nottingham Forest. Again, very difficult team, obviously top of the table in the Premier League. So when you play against a team that's that strong, we were away from home. We were dressed like Tottenham. We played like Tottenham.
You know what? Let's not bring Tottenham into this. This has nothing to do with all Tottenham.
All white.
Okay.
We were dressed in all white. We should never play in all white ever again. I don't care what the charity is. I don't care if it's the Alexis Guerrero's Foundation. I'm going to say, please don't. Just go ahead and wear your red and white. We can find another way of sending the message. Okay.
So
let's talk about it because. What happened was it was a lackluster game. We had absolutely no energy. Nuno Tavares gets subbed in, the 36th minute?
Yeah.
Look, none of this was good. Eddie Nketiah, clearly not right at that level. Charlie Patino, I feel bad for. There's so much going for the kid, and he gets to start in this, which seems like an easy time to start him, but it's going up against guys that are, you know, in the championship, playing for their check, playing for an opportunity. This is the biggest game of their season, is going up against the club at the level of Arsenal. And it was just too late. It was too late to bring on someone like Lacazette that could press and change the energy. And it was just too late. Lokonga didn't look good. You know, I don't want to blame Odegaard because I don't think Nketiah was making the right runs. But, you know, Martinelli also wasn't playing the smartest game I've ever seen him play. Saka at moments looked like he was sort of pushing and trying too hard. I just don't think Holding and Ben White work together. I think it's Gabriel and Ben White or nothing. Looks like Saliba's going to be coming back from his loan at Marseille. And I know Marseille are trying to keep him, but Saliba right now being one of the best center backs in all of the French league, looks like he's coming back. So it looks like even Arteta. Yeah, Saliba's the center back.
I thought he was a midfielder, but okay.
He can also play on the right of a three-man back line.
Got it.
You know, obviously Arteta's not impressed with this back line either, and a guy like Rob Holding as well. You know, I can't blame Leno. He had some really big saves. Obviously, you know, there was one more save I wish he would have made. But at the end of the day, props to Nottingham Forest. They bullied us around the pitch the entire time. I'm going to say this. Look, I've been a big Mikel Arteta defender. There's moments where it's waned right after the Crystal Palace draw. I was a little harsh on him, but, you know, I still supported the guy and I still support him to this day. But the blame lies squarely at his feet. I mean, it's his fault. He picked the squad. It's his job to inspire them, and they did not show up inspired, and this wasn't the right squad. They look like, you know, when you're playing FIFA Ultimate Team and all the connections are red. You know what I mean? The chemistry. That's kind of how it felt. It felt like we tried to sneak one past Nottingham Forest, and they were wild prepared. But I mean, they're in front of their friends and family. You can't try that shit. You know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, look, I don't think Arsenal played that poorly, or at least didn't, like, they didn't seem to
have... no. You saw the form you were on for the last few weeks.
But Nuno, that was a concern because there even, I mean, obviously he got pulled from the game early, and there's really nothing worse than getting subbed when you're not injured in the first half.
You got to be playing badly. You know that's going to ruin your confidence.
Bad. And there were a couple plays. I mean, he did make mistakes, but there were a couple plays where I'm like, yo, dude, pass the ball. Like, literally, what are you doing? Like, there's people
open.
Or there
was a couple passes where I'm like, who are you aiming at?
Yeah. Just a shocker of a performance. It really made no sense, and not a good sign for the rest of that game. And it was a great ball that led to the goal for Nottingham Forest, but no, there wasn't. It didn't seem like Arsenal were ever really going to score in that game. But I don't think we've spoken about this. You're talking about Rob Holding, but we got to talk about Rob Holding's hair because how beautiful.
Bro, comeback of the year, bro.
My man sorted everything out. He went to Keeps. He went to Hims. He did whatever he had to do.
Yo.
But
I got for sure.
The before and after.
But that's him having shaved so he can get the hair transplant.
Yeah.
So that photo is already, but you could see like the hair's really only in that middle part right there. You know what I mean?
Yes, I remember.
And now he's got full coverage.
When we met Rob Holding in Charlotte, you could see he was like, it was fading. The hair, I was like thinking about.
Yeah, the two car garage.
I'm like, bro, you're very young. It shouldn't be happening this soon, but that's the case. It's all good. But he's like, nah, not me. Okay, I'm on TV every week or every other week or whatever. I got to sort this out. So
JD14 said quick trip to Turkey and you good.
No, I'm just gonna go see my barber. What are you going up for a barber for? Don't worry about it.
I like Chanchada Millonaria said the Arsenal Maracanazo. Do you know what Maracanazo is?
No. I don't
I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's the second World Cup. I think it's in the second World Cup. The final is in Brazil.
It's
Brazil versus Uruguay.
That's the stadium, yeah.
Yeah, it happened in the Maracanã. I know this might be the first big tournament at the Maracanã. I can't remember the dude's name, but he's famous in Nick Stern Hipple with the sub, and he says, "Smack my ass like a drum." Great, welcome aboard, Nick.
Smack me ass like so. That European style.
Okay. In the last second of the game in Brazil, I believe it's in the second or third World Cup, 1950. Oh, so yeah, it's the 20th World Cup. Uruguay scores and beats Brazil, the final in their own stadium, in their brand new stadium.
Mm.
So that's called the Maracanazo. Yeah, that's right. Chanchada Millonarios in 1950. Is that Arsenal's Maracanazo? Because they scored a goal in the last second. I won't say that because I don't think the rivalry is as big. Although Uruguay, tiny country, Brazil, massive. I could see it. There's some merit to that. I just don't want to think of it that way. Brush87 said his barber did him dirty. We're talking about Rob Holding. Nickster Nipple, whoa, gifting 5 tier 1 subs.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Nickster Nipple, for so much.
Come on. Brushy87, you get a sub. Chanchala Millonaria, you get a sub. Jalen Till Infinity 92, you get a sub. Daryl Demon, you get a sub. DJ Minotti, you get a sub.
Thank you for the love. All right. So, I mean, you got to give so much credit to Rob Holding. I mean, he tried his best, but the hair was on point, man. He looked good doing it. He looked good losing.
He played badly, but the hair looked good.
Yeah.
JD14 said Forest have had Arsenal's number in the past in the FA Cup in 2018. I remember this, a 4-2 loss when Eric Lehigh had two. Eric Lehigh, an American, scored two against my Arsenal, all the way from Nottingham Forest.
Good for him.
My heart.
Okay. All right. So as far as, look, obviously Arsenal fans were pretty frustrated with this loss, but this, like, is this a, was this an embarrassing loss? Is it, some people were saying now we can focus on the league, blah, blah, blah. Is this a, can we start even the transfer market? What, any players who is Arsenal linked with? There was somebody that was kind of interesting.
Arsenal?
Yeah.
All the signs are pointing to Dusan Vlahovic.
Vlahovic and another striker. Who's the other one that's rumored?
There's Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Isak from Real Sociedad, the Swedish striker.
That's who I'm thinking of.
And Vlahovic. The only thing I don't like is I don't think Isak has the physical body to play in the Premier League. He is tiny. We have been rumored with Tyler Adams, but that seems to pop up and then go away. And now I think Tyler Adams is more rumored with United. So another American for them to blame every week.
Okay.
Forest is owned by the same guy who owns Olympiacos. Also in Arsenal. Oh, my God. The Olympiacos have always been a thorn in our ass back in the Champions League days. Yeah, I don't think... is it Isak? Isak. I just... Dude, he's tiny. I mean, pull him up on Bing. How many re-MRs does he wear?
he's a thin guy.
He's also often injured. If you look up his transfer market, he's had a pretty not significant, but he's had like a bunch of injuries. And I don't think he's gonna be able to survive. You know, how's he gonna play against Burnley?
I look at his photo and I'm like, am I Swedish? Do I play for Sweden? Yeah.
Because I think he's Etrian. What is that?
Eritrean.
It's not Ethiopian.
Eritrean.
Yeah, Eritrean.
Maybe. I don't know, man. But look, I haven't seen him play that much. He plays for Real Sociedad, but he has a couple obviously huge highlights. He's also pretty good in FIFA. So I mean,
go to his transfer. I mean, well, then that's all that matters, right? Get him in there. Go to his transfer market real quick.
Okay, where's is this pop up right here? Here we go.
And then if you go to player pro, go to wait right there. Player stats. Go to if you hover over stats right under his photo.
Okay, got it.
See injury history on the right hand side, absences. Damn, yo, they snitch about everything on this website, bro.
Oh, yeah, he got a couple. Hamstring, the most recent one was September.
You see what I'm saying? It's like a lot of issues that keep him out for 10 days. He misses two matches here, four matches there, five matches there. It's just a lot. And I'm like, yo, the physicality of the Premier League is way different than anything in Germany and anything he's experiencing right now in La Liga for sure.
Yeah.
So he seems to be more like he's more of a Barca player than he really is an Arsenal player. And no disrespect, if we get him, I'm a root for him. But Vlahovic is the one that seems to be a done deal.
He seems a
supposedly wants to get.
I was going to say, he seems a little bit more like beefy for the Premier League. You know what I mean?
Oh, just like that's a big man, right?
It's a
there,
unit, you know what I mean? ready yeah. To wear the number nine. You know what I mean?
He got like a big man body. You know what I mean? He got like an Eastern European body.
He has like a large jowls. He got a thick face. You know what I mean?
He's also like a he's got a Giroud-ish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More. More Clydesdale than he is, you know, Gazelle. You know what I mean? Let's just talk about this man's body.
Yeah, yeah. How many Riyad Mahrez is Dusan Vlahovic?
Like 17. Robert from LA said, will Lucas Torreira be coming back from his loan? So the rumor is that they offered 46 million pounds? 46 million pounds and Lucas Torreira to Fiorentina for Vlahovic. And supposedly... The Fiorentina's like, yo, we need that cash, my G. It's Rocco Camisa, who also owns the Cosmos.
Right.
Who lost all that money trying to sue U.S. soccer.
Mm. Mm.
Oh, Raul Sociedad have banned him from joining Barca. That's right, JD1.
That's so funny.
They won't allow him. They won't listen to any offers of him joining. Which, look, I get. You don't want my guy being in your league. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Is there?
Seems like the right pick for PSG. Isak, Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, Mbappe.
And they still don't get out of the semifinal Champions League.
It would be insane.
Okay. Is there anything else we should discuss before we wrap up? I think we don't. There's much left. What is this rumor about a possible Newcastle possibly trying to bring back Marouane Fellaini?
Yeah, dude. Marouane Fellaini currently playing in China.
Right.
He's currently with Shandong Taishan.
Excuse me, Alexis?
I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
You said that wow, confidently. I didn't expect that.
I hit you with the accent and everything. Shandong Taishan. And he could be tempted by a return to the Premier League. Come on now. What do you? How old is Marouane Fellaini now?
Marouane Fellaini is how old? He has to be maybe 30.
Two and a half Riyad Mahrez is.
Fellaini is how old?
35?
34.
Yeah. It's a little old, dude.
A little bit. He's up there.
Plotting a move. Newcastle. Is this what you thought? They'd be spending all this damn. Richest club in the world here in Trippier? And Marouane Fellaini, you trying to win the league in 2015?
we should discuss Kieran Trippier's. I say Trippier, but it's not Trippier. It's Trippier.
I see. You said it because I said yeah. I messed up.
The announcement photo of his signing from Newcastle.
Has there been an explanation about this yet?
I don't know. This is let me just sort it out. it was. I mean, pretty ridiculous. I mean, or maybe I think this is where the internet and social media have gone, where it's almost better to make a mistake or say something silly because that will get more engagement rather than having like a proper announcement. And clearly here, Kieran Trippier is supposed to be pointing at the badge, at the Newcastle badge.
No, I don't think that's true because Newcastle put this photo out. How do you not know that he missed?
But they must. What I'm saying is that they. I think they did this intentionally. That's my conspiracy theory.
Knowing that it would strike up a lot of engagement.
Right, and everybody would make jokes. There'll be memes. Like, if you look at just under this tweet, the memes are hilarious. So basically, they take people Photoshop his finger and bend it back and adjust it.
Hold on, scroll down. I got to see this.
I mean, there was this one's funny. Of him obviously missing, trying to capture the sun going down. This one's funny. Look, it has a Stone Island logo on the sleeve. Where is the one? Someone put the championship badge.
That's messed up.
Very funny. They're making fun of Timo Werner doing the same thing. Where is the one? Someone just photoshopped it and fixed it. But they
actually did fix it. It didn't look off at all.
This one.
That's his finger's like a big horseshoe.
And it's correctly, you know, pointing to the badge. Super funny. So this led to more people talking about Newcastle than
this is the most positive thing to happen to Newcastle in about 5 years.
Yeah, so if they did it on purpose, props to the social media team because this was absolutely hilarious. So and if it was a mistake, then it's like pretty ridiculous that it would make such a mistake. Like,
but how do you make that mistake?
I like this one. Someone just put a money
like
carrying
a big bag over his shoulders,
a bag of money. so yeah, very 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 clever. So but no, I mean, look, Newcastle, this is the beginning of the new Newcastle. It starts with Kieran Trippier, and we'll see if they can stay up. They just need points. They need points to stay up, man.
I think they will stay up. I mean, let's pull up the standings. What are they in, 14th place?
They are currently, no, they're 19th, bro. They're bad.
Oh, are they?
They're in relegation zone. Yeah, they need to get goals. They need to figure something out there. I mean, they had the good game against Manchester United, in which they got a draw, I believe.
I know we're currently filming the podcast, but keep talking. D forgot her keys.
Oh, that's usually how it works anyway. Okay, so I'll just talk to the chat. Bor Martin said they did it for publicity. Nicholas Kayak. That's right. That's the brand on the sleeve that he's pointing at. Good publicity for Kayak. I think it worked out quite well. Vinegar Strokes, I'm here for Fellaini comeback. Fellaini even at Everton. I would love to see that. Why not? Bring him back. Does the Fro return with him too? I think Fellaini...
Do you think he'd go back to play with Everton? He must be getting a big old bag.
Yeah, very much.
At Shandong Taishan.
I got to clip that out. That's just great every time you say it.
You know, part Chinese, right?
I mean, just like the way white My people say it. So white people are like, I'm 2.2% Native American. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, don't you wash out part of my culture, my G? Just because I know nothing about it don't mean nothing.
No.
I have tried to find out more about it, but, you know, they did not keep a lot of information on my my great-grandfather and his dad who went to Cuba to escape communism and missed. Found you. Psych.
So, but yeah, so they're 19th place. They got a lot to work on. Look, season's not over. A lot of games left. Anything could happen, but 2-3 wins and, you know, they might be above Everton, and Everton might be in the damn relegation battle.
Damn, I thought they were staying above the relegation zone. That's rough. Newcastle needs to drop, and Miggy needs to find a new home. He's wasting his best year, says Five Takes. I agree. I don't think he stays. I don't get a lot of sense of confidence from the fans in Miguel Almirón. So I think he will end up fine.
I mean, Miguel is like one of the few bright spots on the team. I mean, they can't defend.
Yeah, but I don't think people think he's of the level that they need, you know? So I think he will find a new home.
Sure. I don't think that's the issue.
I could see him in La Liga.
I could see him wanting to leave more than Newcastle fans wanting him to go. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just the team is so bad. I mean, they're just so bad. It's frustrating because he's not the problem. I mean, from the naked eye, watching him play, yeah, he's not maybe the kind of attacking threat that he was at MLS, let's say, but he's still pretty. I mean, he's insanely fast, and it's good. He hasn't really been getting injured. He's not pulling his hamstring. He has a good stretch of games, but they have way, like, bigger problems to sort out. Okay.
Board Martin said just 11 new signings and they might get more points. So come on.
All right. We should wrap up. We've been going on for a little bit. So again, a reminder, this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, tune into Football Sports Network. We're going to be chatting with Giles Barnes. He played for Derby County, played for West Brom. He played a bunch of different MLS teams.
Doncaster Rovers. Okay. He played for Houston Dynamos, Whitecaps, great. Orlando City.
And seriously, an absolute homie. Great, great dude. We spoke to him earlier today. That's going to air on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, the Cooligans on Football Sports Network. So check that out and subscribe to the Cooligans podcast. So if you want to listen to that interview, that'll be available on Friday. Okay. All right. Yeah. Make sure you check those things out. Follow us, everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on everything. Again, shouts to everybody for helping us get to 20,000 followers on Twitter. Huge accomplishment for us. So thank you for helping us get there. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about anything that we're doing, if you're even remotely interested, okay? We appreciate the support. And follow us on TikTok. We're doing a bunch of stuff. I'm, like, actively trying to come up with fun things to do on there. At Soccer Cooligans on TikTok.
Christian threw tomatoes at his phone. The least you could do is hit that follow button.
Bro, that was a fun one. Making fun of Carlos Cordero running again for for president of U.S. Soccer. Yeah.
Thank you, Brushy87. Thank you so much, homie. He said, lit show as always. Big you up, homie.
And also said, road to 30K begins. Let's go. Yeah, we're almost at 30K on Instagram, by the way. We're at 25 there. So, bro.
25-something.
We're doing a big year. Obviously, World Cup coming up. Bro, you want to get on the Cooligans train, bruh. Okay? Run a train
get
on
the...
Run a Get train on us, okay? That's what we're saying.
You know.
That's what we're asking our fan base is to run a train on us.
Enough of the edging.
I know.
Just get in here. I'm double dick.
Okay, tactically, this is the best thing for us.
It worked in Germany.
Okay. Brushy coming through with the pause. All right. The early aughts. Okay. Coming through. Yo,
Dimitri said Cooligans going to Qatar. Not after this conversation. We might not be let in, but we'd love to. We would love to. We're trying to figure that out. how to possibly get there.
Yeah,
if anyone knows anyone who works in the sponsorship department of Coca-Cola, tell them to hit us up.
Okay. If you need us to help, you know, build a modular stadium, we'll go. Okay.
Actually, hotel. They're out of hotel rooms. If you need us, we'll bring tents. If you let us, just let us, give us a place to shower.
We'll sleep in a shipping container. Okay.
You know, I'm holding onto my passport though. I know how y'all play.
Okay. So,
look at Demetrius. Said, don't get your passport. My ass would be stuck in Doha. You
feel me? Yeah. I'm tattooing my passport to my body, okay?
100%, but I'm gonna get the chip. Give me the chip passport, bro.
So yeah, big year for us. So stick around and give us a follow. Tell people about the show. If this is something you enjoy, we'd appreciate any support. And all right, I think we're good to go. Anything else that we should mention?
Nah, we didn't even get to talk about the Galatasaray coach getting fired, but maybe we'll do that on the next one.
Oh yeah, Domai Tarant got the job.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't notice. Good shot. All right. Good job.
Ex-NYCFC coach is the new coach. Right. That's right. All right. We'll talk about that in the future. We'll see how that goes for him. I saw he did tweet about it, and it is in Turkish as well. So maybe he speaks fluent Turkish. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. JD
sure one, wasn't the marketing team at all.
JD one said, any Qatari princes in the chat?
Yo, hell yeah. We need y'all.
Yo, you should be subscribing if you're a Qatari prince. There's no excuse. Okay.
yeah. By the way, tier 700. You know what I mean? Get in there.
All right.
In fact, join Gully Squad, will you?
Everybody, thank you so much for the love. Everybody on Twitch, we appreciate it. Thank you for coming through. We're here every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Give us a follow on Twitch and come through. Always appreciate it. I know, and as always, the full episodes of Prem Show, if you want to watch the video, those live on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/soccercooligans. Go subscribe there. Again, we're going to be putting a bunch of stuff, a bunch of new stuff on there, especially the Everton documentary. I've been saying mini documentary, but it is.
This is a full blown doc.
From the Cooligans Classico and Everton Arsenal. Seriously, we're finishing it up.
Wait till you see it. It's crazy.
It's honestly one of the best things we've ever done. We're so, so proud of it. It's really, really cool. And I'm excited for everybody to see it. So that'll be.
Shout out to the homie Sam. Yeah. Sam Ashton killed it.
Yeah, yeah. So, killed it. Great, great work. Okay, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you do not miss out on that. Okay. Y'all the absolute best. Exclamation point outro in the chat.
Flood the chat with that. Come on now.
Let's go.
Let's get it going.
With that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans! Yes!
Robert from LSA arrived late. Did you share your thoughts on the passing of Bob Saget? We did not do that, but we probably should.
No.
Bob Saget.
We should do that on the show.
Did you ever meet Bob Saget? I never met him.
I did. I met him once.
From a general perspective, obviously, like for a lot of people, we all grew up with Bob Saget, especially if you are probably over 30 years old or something like that. He was a huge part of your life. And even if you were younger, you probably watched the new, you know, Full House that was on Netflix and stuff. I would say from a, like, watch Jimmy Kimmel's kind of, you know, what he said on his show. And it's obviously very, very touching. And Bob Saget, I've never heard one negative word said about Bob Saget. But I think the interesting thing here is, like, you know, especially as comedians, we've just been around so many comedians that we know that who are no longer with us. And it's like, it's sad, but it's sad on, even though I didn't know Bob Saget, like we weirdly have similar lives, right? Like stand-up comedians have this bond that we will always have, that we live a different life. We're just different types of people. And there's something, it's depressing in its own way, almost like in a different level, because he brought so much joy to people's lives, and there was so much stuff, almost charity work he did and all this other stuff. So it's obviously very, very sad. But as a comedian, hurts me in a different way. I don't know how to explain it exactly.
I think there's a camaraderie between people who do what you do. And I think the part that hit me the hardest was the fact that he died alone in a hotel room. And I can't explain. There's no way that I could ever put into words how it feels to be on stage. And, you know, we as comedians talk a lot about, you know, the fact that we don't even consider how cocky it is to say, like, I'm gonna go to your town I've never been to, and I'm gonna make you laugh. Person who I don't have anything that essentially relates to it directly. You know what I mean? I didn't grow up where you grew up. I didn't do what you did, but I'm gonna make you laugh with words I've already thought of. And then you do that, and to be on stage and to have a joke hit. And there's moments where I remember very distinctly, I was supposed to feature for a headliner. So I was the middle act. Sometimes a club will pick you randomly, but most of the time the headliner will say, I want this person to come along. A headliner brought me with them to do two shows in Wisconsin, two clubs in Wisconsin. So 2 weekends. So I was away from home for 2 weeks in a row. The second weekend, a special guest popped in, and it wasn't Bob Saget, by the way. A special guest popped in. So it was a comedian who toured with an NFL team, and he promised that the NFL players would come see him perform. They never did, by the way. I think like two of the guys from like the audio booth showed up, but because of that promise, and they were playing the Packers, and it was like Packers players will come, and we're in the middle of Wisconsin near Green Bay. The club bumps the headliner down to feature and lets them keep the headliner pay, and was going to bump me off the show completely. But I had already purchased tickets to fly to LA. Long story short, the club calls me and says, hey, you're off the show. And I said, yo, what am I going to do? Like, I have to be in your town that weekend anyway.
Yeah.
And they're like, my flight's flying out of your city to LA. So like, there's nothing I can do. I can't go home. You know what I mean? And I was like, can I stay in the comedy condo? And they were like, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you host and still keep the feature money? So we'll just bump the host completely. I was like, fine. So I'm now in that city. I have a hosting set that crushes so much that they let me actually do extra time between the feature and the headliner on the second show because the headliner's bombing. The next day I come back, I destroy again. And I'm doing this on purpose. I'm doing all my A material. I'm like, yo, if you're going to bump me down a host, you're going to remember my name. I'm doing all my best material. I am rushing. And I go back to the booth afterwards, and the owner of the club goes, I wish you would have headlined. I mean, I had the greatest set I've ever had. I'm doing crowd work. I'm doing my set. Everything is working perfectly. And I get off stage, and as soon as the show's over, people are forgetting about the headline. They're running over and they're like, dude, you're hilarious. You're the funniest. When are you back in town? I want to come see you. People are buying me drinks. It felt like all 400 people were around me all at the same time buying me drinks. And then all of a sudden, it's like 100 people around me. And then all of a sudden, it's like 3 or 4 people. And then all of a sudden, it's just like one other person. You know what I mean? And then that person leaves, and now I'm at the highest I've ever been. I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest feeling on earth. And I'm alone.
Yeah.
And then I go back to the comedy condo and I'm alone. And that feeling doesn't ever, there's no way to ever level that out. I could see why so many comedians turn to drugs.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But luckily, I have people like my wife that I could call and be like, yo, I'm sorry. There's no way to come down off of this right now. Like, I need to talk to somebody that will ground me, that knows who I am, because I am the single most important thing happening in this city right now. And then all of a sudden I'm nobody again.
Yeah.
And that feeling, that being alone in a hotel room, is one of the saddest places to be, because of the letdown of being so, like, the whole place, the whole room is clapping for you, and then all of a sudden nothing. So to die in a hotel room, Greg Giraldo died alone in a hotel room. A bunch of other comedians have, now Bob Saget has. That feeling is so dreadful to me as a comic, because I understand just how depressive a state. That's why everyone immediately went drugs, not just because you think he's a drug user, because every comedian knows he must have had a great set.
Yeah, that my first thought, I hear hotel room, I think drugs. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly what happened, and, you know, don't want to speculate, but we've just been around this so much. And it's not even like, oh, he did drugs, what a bad person. It's like, oh, maybe it was drugs, and oh, what was he going through? What was that? That's because we're also used to the same story, and we all kind of experience the same exact thing. And that's a great description of, like, the high that you feel when you have a good set. I haven't even been performing much in the last year, and I did a show on Saturday, and it was like, oh my, it went so well that I was mad. I'm like, yeah, I'm mad because of COVID. I'm mad because I can't do this, every day and whatever.
Right. It's so hard to, your body doesn't know what to do with the, I don't know if you've ever been punched in the face when you didn't know you were about to get punched, like sucker punched. That's the feeling. You're just like, your body has no idea how to calculate what is happening.
Right.
You just had a great set and you're just like, where's the next show? And you never want the party to end. And at the same time, it's a lot. And by the way, Dimitri, you're a fucking amazing human being. You got Gully Squad anytime you need us.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're just a wonderful human being, Dimitri. Thank you, man. Yeah. That means a lot.
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, our lives were so focused on stand-up comedy. Essentially, when we started, the first essentially like 6-7 years of our career, and then we brought this to the soccer community, and it's changed my life and just changed my disposition because it's made me excited about another thing. And I get to work on my joke telling, but also get to be more ingratiated in the soccer world. And
I've been meaning to tell you, dude, you should start telling jokes on the show. Dude.
Oh my God. I've been slacking. You know how it is.
Also, that's the only other way comedians want to tell each other that they like that person or they love them is to shit on them.
But yeah, look, obviously, rest in peace to Bob Saget. It just sucks. It's a terrible story. I don't know if we'll ever know exactly what happened, but it's a shame to lose someone who is clearly just so beloved. And then as comics, it is. We don't want to think so much of ourselves, but we're trying to do something good for the world and do something good for people. So when you lose someone,
I do it for me, you know.
Okay, everybody has their own motives. But when you lose someone, especially, you know, we know the amount of dedication and sacrifice and work. It just looks like we're bullshitting on here, but like it really took years of crafting and working, going to open mics. And yeah, so whether, yeah, Bob Saget has been a famous comedic actor and comedian for years, but there's no, he still had to do the same work. It doesn't matter how famous you are, you still got to work on the jokes. You still have to perform them. You still have to like get in front of that.
We've said this before. The most famous person can jump on stage, and that's why the stage is the great equalizer.
Yeah.
You could be the world's most famous human being. If David Beckham got on stage at a comedy club in Manchester, he'd get an uproar of applause immediately.
Yeah.
He would get a laugh no matter what he said as the first joke. After the second joke, he'd get a couple of giggles. After the third joke, you better be funny or get off stage because there's other comedians here. Like, fame is done after three jokes. Right. You're done. Like, you have to earn it as a comic.
The audience
time.
Will be like, all right, Bex, show us your abs. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah. Shut up and take your shirt off. You ain't funny. You cute. Stop it.
I can't.
Stay in your lane, Bex.